The John Howard question. Do you intend to serve a full 3-year term as executive chairman of BNB?
How did Mr. Howard answer that?
That he would serve for as long as it was in the interests of Babcock and Brown and as long as the Babcock and Brown shareholders wanted him.
That is a great answer.
But then when they didn't want him, he changed it to, my wife said I shouldn't go.
I'll consider that one as well.
All right. Now, I'm pleased you've made the change to the Nomination and Governance Committee, but I do have an issue with you, Elizabeth.
What a surprise, David.
I just still can't appreciate the claim that you're independent. You're still chairman of Commander, which has been a shocker, I have to say. I'm down about 90% on my $500 on that one. You were on the board of BBI. You were affiliated, then you went independent. You're on the board of GPT, which has got a big joint venture. I mean, you're too busy to start with, and then I don't think you're independent. So I think a little minor shuffle of the deck chairs...
Just explain to me why I'm not independent. Just, you know, other than saying it, very easy to say, but just explain to me what actual evidence you have of the fact that I don't bring an independent mind and an independent stance to my judgments on this board. What is there, what evidence do you have that I don't do that? Because I can absolutely assure you, and I'm very happy for the whole of the rest of the board to speak on this, they would strongly disagree with you.
I guess my evidence would be some of the recommendations of the proxy advisory firms, who are the professionals who look at these issues. Some of them have classified you as non-independent, and I would say it is simply the depth and breadth of your relationship with the Babcock House. That you can't have multiple gigs going back over time with Babcock and still stand up and say you're independent.
Let's just talk about that for a second, because it's very easy for you to get up and say things like that, and you know, this is my reputation we're talking about here, okay? So when you talk about my multiple gigs with the Babcock House, I was the chairman of Prime Infrastructure, now Babcock and Brown Infrastructure. I was invited to go onto that board as an independent chairman, right? And I was the independent chairman of that group until I was invited to come onto this board as a non-executive director, at which time I immediately severed my relationship with Babcock and Brown Infrastructure. Now, during the time as my chairman of BNB, I acted in all respects as a non-executive independent chairman, and I think those people in the audience who were shareholders at that time would not disagree with the proposition that I acted entirely appropriately. There's never been any suggestion that anything I did at that time or have done since has in any way, either, you know, through anything I've done, favoured one or other side of that equation. I moved on to the Babcock and Brown board as an independent director because, presumably, the guys at Babcock and Brown thought that I had performed a strong role as a non-executive director in Babcock and Brown Infrastructure. They were looking for strong independent directors, and they asked me to join their board, at which point I severed my connection with the infrastructure fund. Now, I don't think, you know, that is the history of that relationship, you know, so that's the first thing. In relation to General Property Trust, I have been associated with that company as a director for about 15 years, right? I was on the board of General Property Trust long before I had anything to do with Babcock and Brown, and at the time when General Property Trust and Babcock and Brown decided to form a joint venture, in fact, the then board of General Property Trust completely kept me out of those negotiations, and so did Babcock and Brown. The first thing I knew of that joint venture was when the two companies came out and announced it. So completely was I kept out of that relationship. Since that time, both Ian and I, as members of the GPT board, have excused ourselves from any discussion at any meeting of GPT about anything to do with the Babcock and Brown joint venture. So we have made absolutely certain that there is no contamination in any discussion. Now, yes, I have two directorships where there is a joint venture between the two in relation to a part of our businesses. But it is not correct to say that because of that I have behaved improperly or anything that I've done or I've said or that I know has contaminated debate at either board. That is simply incorrect. In relation to Commander, Babcock and Brown long ago sold out of that company. So
joined the board to represent Babcock?
I was not put on that board to represent Babcock. I was asked by Babcock, when Babcock bought into that company, they put an executive of the company on that board to represent Babcock's interests, and they asked me whether, in common with some other people, I was prepared to serve as an independent director. Now, throughout my time on the board of Commander, at the time when Babcock's had an interest, I completely excused myself from any discussion within Babcock and Brown about Commander. I had nothing to do with it. Again, when Babcock and Brown sold out of Commander, I was the last to know. I had nothing to do with it. And I've been absolutely scrupulous about those relationships. And the same is true for every member of this board in relation to everything. So, you know, it's easy to sort of take a couple of things and put them together and say something which damages somebody's reputation, Stephen. But I think, you know, in fairness, you ought to look to see whether there's any evidence first.
I'm not saying you're a bank robber. I'm saying that I agree with the proxy houses, but I think you have too many gigs elsewhere within the Babcock empire to be classified as independent. It's not a major attack on your reputation.
Excuse me, I don't have any other current gig in the Babcock and Brown empire at all, except for this board. None. Right? None. And what you're saying is that at some point in the past, for a period, Babcock and Brown had an interest in the company of which I was the non-executive chairman, and they sold out of that some time ago. That at some point in the past, when this board didn't exist and when this company was not listed, I was the non-executive independent chairman of a fund which was created by Babcock and Brown, and that when this board was created, I resigned from that fund immediately and came on board here. Now, there is no existing conflict there at all at the moment. The only potential for any conflict is the fact that I also am a member of the General Property Trust Board, and as I've explained to you, I have taken great care at General Property Trust to ensure that I have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the Babcock and Brown joint venture. And the same is true for Ian. We have declared an interest. We leave the room when it's discussed. So there is absolutely no contagion in terms of any discussion we may have at a Babcock and Brown board meeting. That is the limit of, you know, my involvement.
Stephen, just to add to that, I mean, Elizabeth's chairing this part of the meeting, so it's difficult for her to call time out on this. But let's make it clear. There is no principle, nor would I'm sure you suggest, that two companies with common independent directors should not do business with each other. Or that director should automatically resign from one of those boards. Elizabeth, as she said, was a director of GPT long before she was a director of Babcock and Brown. As to the other point on BBI, again, the idea that Babcock and Brown, when it's listed, is not reasonable to approach a highly regarded independent director on its only listed fund at that point in time and say, look, rather than you do this job, would you be interested in a job on the as an independent director on the board in any way compromises independence? It would be quite common, I would imagine, that independent directors on partly owned subsidiaries or whatever of major global companies identify talented independent directors and ultimately ask those directors to join the board of the head company. That wouldn't make them non-independent, and I would suggest might be a common way of recruiting quality independent directors. So I think the points you're making are absolutely invalid. I mean, a year or so ago, there was a comment that Elizabeth was too busy. Maybe that's a view that people can have. But a view about her independence is totally misplaced. And I honestly think this is about the election. Elizabeth is not up for re-election here. We've made the statement on nomination and governance, and as far as I'm concerned, I think this discussion should be at an end.
All right. Look, I'm happy to wind it up, but I'd make one brief comment. I'm supporting the founder staying on as the executive chairman. I note his comment that he has listened to the proxy advisers, quote, about the suggestions on the board, and he says, quote, which we are giving serious consideration to. I know the proxy advisers would like to see a majority of independent directors on this board, and I know that some of the proxy advisers have had in the past issues about Elizabeth's independence. And so I'm simply saying to you as the executive chairman, in your comments about listening to the third-party experts on governance that we attempt at Babcock's to move to a position of a majority of independent directors and a lead independent director who everyone agrees is clearly independent. And for my money, that's Ian Martin.
I will just interject as well. I don't fully understand the relevance of those comments about Elizabeth to my nomination, but they've been made. I think you brought up the same issues generally about Elizabeth 3 years ago, and they were addressed by Phil at the time, I believe, who pointed out that from the perspective of everybody who knows Elizabeth, including those of us on this board, we find her to be absolutely independent, absolutely valuable. I have never had any sense in any of the interactions with Elizabeth that she was anything but independent and that she was taking consideration of anything other than the best interests of Babcock & Brown shareholders. And Phil's comment at the time was, if we could find any more people like Elizabeth, we'd put them on the board in a nanosecond, and I fully believe that.
Yes, I'd like to